We start this morning with something that I've got to say this morning to you, that I found a real challenge trying to look at this. And when I got my assignment, so to speak, for my homework, I thought, why pick on me? What I want to give. But it's been a challenge for me, but I'm sure as you've sat there for the last few weeks as well, you've been challenged by the words that have been spoken, and also the challenge that the Bible has given to us as well. So hopefully, as if by magic, it should appear as number 6, and Liz and Howard have keyed that in, and it says this. This is number 6 for us. It says, the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross, dying in our place, paying the price of sin, and defeating evil, so reconciling us with God. Now, I'll let you have a few seconds to just read that, because as you read it, it explodes. And it explodes in depth and width and understanding what God did for each one of us. So here we go. Let's jump in deep. The word that comes to me this morning, and as I prepared this, is the word that stands out, which is so strong, and it's the word atoning or atonement. But what does it actually mean? I sat down and thought about it, and I had to sort of grab straws and think, I don't really know what atonement means. I don't even use that word today. It's kind of scary because the world doesn't see that as being relevant. But I'm sure it must be there to make that sentence or that statement complete. But I've got to be honest with you, it's not a word that I regularly use. In fact, I can't even remember when I used the word atonement last. Some of us have been digging deep into the Alpha Course. And I sat there yesterday thinking, maybe today we'll find out about atonement. And you know, there wasn't a single word of it mentioned. Atonement isn't there. But it must be there. It's important to make this statement complete. I'm sure you'll all agree that this statement wouldn't be complete. It wouldn't be number 6 in our church's top 10 if it wasn't important. We'd strike it out. We'd wash it away, and it'd never exist. But it's there for everyone to read on our webpage. So where are we going to look to try and find some understanding about this? The Old Testament came to mind. And so I looked at that. I got out my trusty Bible and looked at Leviticus, which stood out for me. Leviticus 16:30 says this, for it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you, to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. That's kind of amazing that you're standing in the shower and you're getting clean from head to toe. And then you step out of the shower and it's freezing cold. And then you get a towel and then you dry yourself and you think, well, I'm actually probably dirtier now because this isn't a brand new clean spanking towel. But yet the shower of God covering us, it gives us that atonement, and it gets things right. And then I had another thought, and I had a reflection. That wasn't the right statement for me. I wasn't happy with that. Why? Well, because it was done by priestly ritual. In Leviticus' day, Old Testament day, the priest had the right of cleansing, and it was down to him to do that by priestly ritual. Sinners were made clean before the Lord. But today, you've got to acknowledge this morning that we're not living in Old Testament times. We're living under a different authority. And I'm looking around the room and I'm keeping people's eye contact with them. And people are thinking, well, we're not living in Old Testament days. We're living in New Testament days. And we're living under the authority of Jesus. So that's where we stand. But then I wasn't prepared to just accept one statement. I wanted to have a look at a deeper statement and another one to find out if it was personally applicable to me. And to find out. And so I looked at Isaiah. I love Isaiah. I keep going back to that book and reading it again and reading it again and reading it again. Because so much is in there about Jesus. And this is the bit I want to read to you. It's out of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we were considered by him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment which brought us peace on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That one is even stronger. That one really reaches down into every cell of our bodies, and it tells us what Jesus did. No longer relying on the priest, no longer relying on the teacher, but relying on Jesus to do that atonement for us. It talks about Jesus standing in the gap. If I could ask you to take away a picture, close your eyes and just take this picture away. There's you on one side and God on the other side. And there is a gap between you and God. And in that gap this morning stands Jesus. In the gap stands Jesus. Between sin and God, that divide is there for all of the world to recognize. Last week, Andy touched on that when he talked about Emmanuel, God with us. Somebody once said, if it's in the Bible once, it's important. Then if it's in more than once, it's in twice. It's really, really, really important. So work that one out for yourself. It talks about atonement a lot of times. So what is the dictionary definition of atonement? What does it actually mean? What does the Oxford Dictionary, what does Google say about atonement? Well, it says this. It's the satisfaction or reparation for a wrong or injury. It almost sounds legal. Today, we teach our youngsters, say sorry and mean it. It's too easy to say sorry and then go and do the same thing over again. We're presently teaching our two-year-old granddaughter to say sorry. And it's a challenge at the age of two. It's also, well, no, it's more than a challenge. Because it's a challenge for each one of us. When we get things wrong and we goof up. In the car, at home, and in our lives. And more than often, it's in the car when I drive a little bit too close or a little bit too fast. Or don't realize that there's somebody waiting to pass me and I don't pull in. It's a challenge for all of us, and we have to know right from wrong. As we start to unpack the meaning of this number six statement, we understand that it has deep consequences for all of the church, for all of us as believers, and for human beings as well. This morning, we're going to go deep, and we need time and understanding, and hopefully we'll have some of that time at the end. A personal thought and application. But I want to give you a bit of history. We stand before you and talk about Leviticus. That's history. But about more recent history about atonement. The doctrine of belief concerning reconciliation of God and humankind has been accomplished through life and suffering and death of Jesus Christ. And that's been around since the Bible was written. We've talked about that so many times. When the Bible was laid down, the truth was made known. But in our culture, where we live, it was the 1520s when it rose up in the church. And people became aware of what happens when God is separated from us. Putting back the relationship between ourselves and God is so important. I've got a little quote from Ephesians 2:13. It says this, once you were far off, but now you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been brought near. That's one of the things that I'm challenged by, that I'm brought near to that place of God when I come to join each other and we come to join each other in fellowship together. The good news of Jesus as Saviour and Mediator of Lord of every single one of us is so important. This morning, you can be assured, you can be happy, you can be safe, you can be standing saying these words, God has a plan for me, for my life. Even though I don't see clearly right now, Martin. I'm struggling with this aspect. I'm struggling with this. My family causing me problems, my school, my work, my money. But God has a plan. Be assured, He has a plan. And that's great news. But more than that, God has a plan that is deep and wide. We all know what state our country is in this morning. You can discuss politics, you can see it on the TV, you can see it on the radio. But no matter where we are, God has every dimension of our country, of our life, in His hands. We're covered by God. There are four biblical reasons for atonement. Four. And you could probably write a paper on it and say to me, well, actually, I could find 10 reasons. But I want to just very, very briefly look at these four reasons and why atonement is actually in its place. The first reason, and it relates to God's nature, God's personality, God's understanding, is that God is a righteous God who loves justice. We all know what it's like when justice has happened, when things are treated fairly, when we as parents and grandparents, and we see that our parents are treating us fairly too. That's important. But God's love and righteousness stands on justice. And the reason God is like that is He can't let sin slide or sweep it away, because He is a righteous God who stands on those words. Psalm 89 verse 14 said, He is the rock. His work is perfect. We've sung of that, I think, so many times. God's work is perfect. Because of God's nature, He can only do what is just and right. As a grown-up man, I wish I could do what is just and right in every situation. But I'm tempted, and I'm weak, and I'm blown around by the storms of life. But that's what God is like. You've got to remember this now. This is the hard bit to follow. That sin is punished on the sinner. If you do things wrong in God's eyes, God says, I will punish you. You've broken the law. But then He says, here's the good news. That sin that's on your shoulders can be taken away by an appropriate substitute. An appropriate substitute. That is the plan of salvation for sinners. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's the appropriate substitute that the world doesn't see, that the world is looking for, the appropriate substitute. Long time ago, I used to see that badge on my teacher, and they used to wear that, Jesus saves. And today, it's just as relevant as then. My second point is that God is holy. He is perfect. And He dislikes sin. He doesn't like to see His children sinning. And if we think that about that as parents, as people in society, we don't like to see sin abound in our society, in our families, and it upsets us and grieves us. But two choices remain. The first choice is to remain in sin and unholiness, to cast away from God's presence. Or the second way is to be obedient to Jesus Christ, who paid that price. We read the benefits and the rewards. Yesterday we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we spent a lot of time thinking and meditating, and I would ask you to do that again. Receive the Holy Ghost, be touched, be moved. God's plan is part of that. The third point, the sanction of God's law. The Ten Commandments are what our Bible is based upon, what our laws in society are based upon. It gives us the moral fibre of our society. It reflects God's character. We'd all perhaps wish that there was more of the Ten Commandments in people's lives, and that's something to pray for. Perhaps as time goes on, our nation will turn back to God, and those Ten Commandments will become so real. We recall an earlier talk in the series that's been done that humans were created in the image of God. We know right from wrong. My 2-year-old granddaughter knows what's right and knows what's wrong at 2. She knows how to push buttons at 2. She knows how to make dirty marks on the window at 2. She knows how to come to granddad and ask for extra chocolate. She knows. And mum says, no, it's time to eat. Eat your dinner. This morning, and in front of you, I've got to say these words. God's law are a reflection of his perfect character. God's character is not blotted in any way. It's perfect. But he could not set it aside. The law and its penalty, without defiling and defining himself. Sinners are cursed, and only Christ can eliminate the curse. When I was a little boy, I went to school, and being left-handed, I struggled with my writing of my letters. And one day, I got taken aside by the teacher, who said to me, you will have to stay in at playtime and do those letters again. And I was really, really, really struggling with this. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do. The following day, I will go to school and I will take a rubber and buy that on my pocket money. And I will take that in and I will rub out all these bad letters. Now, of course, my teacher knew how to use a rubber because I thought I was being smart. And I would rub out all those bad letters and I would go over them again. But she was looking at my book and she saw me and she was like that. And she was down on me like a ton of bricks. She wanted me to have a perfect character to make that perfect letter. And I struggled and I struggled. And that day I went home and cried. And my mum said to me, why are you so upset? What's the reason? And I said, I've fallen out with my teacher because I can't write my letters properly. God's laws are a reflection of his perfect character, and my character was nowhere near perfect, still today. The fourth point is the teaching of the gospel. That's what we stand on in our church. That's what we stand on in a society. We need the gospel. We need you and me to let that light shine out of our lives. So why did Christ come? Well, to fulfill the Gospels, but it was out of necessity for you and me. In Hebrews 9:22, it says, only the blood of Jesus will do. That's the fix. That's the patch. That's the computer. Switch it back off, switch it back on. That's put new petrol into the car and start it over again. That's put the new piece of wallpaper up square. That's go and get it sorted. Only the blood of Jesus will do. Everything points to one conclusion. We like conclusions. If you write a story, you've got to make sure it has a happy ending. We like conclusions. It means that our brain doesn't have to work thinking about how does that story end. We like conclusions because we all like to live happily together. We've heard that so many times. Sinners saved by Jesus. In John's Gospel 14, it says this, these famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we come back full circle to the start. We've gone over the whole idea. Back to first principles. It's a sciencey thing again. We like to take things back to where we started from and get a grip. Because of the nature and the love of God, he has a plan to fix this broken situation that I find myself in this morning, that you find yourself in this morning, that our town finds itself in this morning, that our country finds itself, that our world is in such a mess. But the answer is Jesus. To put it right, what went wrong? We're waiting for completion in his people, in you and me. God is saying, come on, you've got more to do. Come on, church, you've got more to do. Come on, Great Britain, you've got more to do. Come on, world, you've got more to do. We need to recognize God's fixing power and plan. I want to finish with a personal story about my upbringing and my family. It hurts a bit to tell you this story because it's a long time ago. But my gran was born in 1908. She was a Christian lady. She was grandmother to four boys. I was one of them. She was a lady who could cook, she could sew, she could knit, and she could crochet anything. She was a great mum and a great grandmother. Back in the winter of 1963, look it up online, it was a cold winter in Manchester where I grew up. It was one of the worst winters we've ever had for ages and ages. I can remember it well. We had a day off school. They had to put extra coal in the fire to make sure that the school was warm. And by 11 o'clock, they said, get home, everybody. So it was a bad year, 1963. But each of the four grandsons was given, as a birthday gift, something that she made, Gran made. It was always delivered in a brown paper bag that she'd taken from Tesco or taken from Woolworths and wrapped up with a bit of sellotape on it, and it was given to us. And one time it was my turn to receive my present. Feeling this carrier bag or feeling this bag, it could have been a book, but it wasn't. It could have been some Lego, but it wasn't. It could have been a toy, but it wasn't. I opened the bag to find inside my birthday present. It was a brown knitted bobble hat. What a great gift, keeping my head toasty and warm. And that was for every single one of her grandsons. We all had different colours, blue, red, green, and mine was brown. One question was always on my mind. I had to wait until I was at least 10 to be brave enough to ask Gran, what would this question be? Gran, how did you know the right size to knit? Four boys, different ages, different head sizes, and yet mine fitted and the others fitted as well. Her reply was to me, one size fits all. That's the truth this morning for number six. The atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross, dying in our place, paying the price of sin and defeating evil, so reconciling us with God. One size fits all. It's really important that we spend time and reflect upon what we've heard this morning, about those words that we've read. Time to think, time to reflect, that God has a plan for every single one of us, for all. Fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Not through our own good, but through his atoning blood. It's a time this morning to be right before God, to be made clean in his plan. Perhaps a time to reflect and pray for a new understanding as we go through our daily lives. We stand on those words. Perhaps you haven't received the good news about Jesus in your life this morning, but perhaps you need time to ponder that. Then we've got time to do that. Perhaps this morning you want to just spend some extra time praying and accepting and saying it's a new chapter, a new week, a new day to be reconciled with God and Saviour. This morning, it's our opportunity. Let's pray. Father God, in this time that we spend just now in a few moments, we ask that your message would really reach down into every cell of our bodies, into every nook and cranny in our minds, and that you would inspire us to go on with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can reflect and we can pray for a new understanding of your word. And we thank you as well that one size does fit all. Every single one of us is covered under the blood of Jesus this morning. So, Lord, we ask that you just take us on. Take us into that new place. Take us into that deep place. Thank you, Lord, that you do care for each one of us, for our families, our friends, our nation, our world. And we pray, Lord, that you would just give us your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, thank you.